In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As often happens in the services, when I read something, unexpectedly a thought comes to me. Of course, I expect these unexpected thoughts to come, mind you, but I don't know when they're going to come. And so I want to speak about the healing of this woman who has been bowed down, unable to raise herself up for 18 years. But the second reading is for a bishop, Bishop Innocent of Irkutsk, we celebrate today. And the typical reading is this one about the shepherd. And in the beginning of that reading, Jesus says that the shepherd allows the sheep to go in and out and find pasture. That's a definition of freedom, to be able to go in and out, find pasture. This is what Jesus came for us to be able to have, is to have freedom, true freedom, not the kind of freedom the world talks about, but freedom to always be good, to always have goodness in our heart, to always be still in our heart, to not have any of that agitation in our heart. We could say that when we have agitation and we don't want it, we're like this woman who's bent over, couldn't we? She couldn't raise herself up. She couldn't do it. So she's bent over, had to walk probably with a cane because you can't walk very well when you're bent over. She probably had serious back pain all the time. She couldn't raise herself up. She probably couldn't sleep well. And she couldn't do anything for her condition. She spent money on doctors, nobody could help her. And probably, given that society at the time, she was ostracized because people thought there was something wrong with her. There was something sinful about her. And in fact, there was a spirit of infirmity. Satan had bound her. Jesus doesn't say why, but sometimes Satan does bound people with disease or bind people with disease, whether it be physical or mental disease. It can happen. Absolutely. So this woman could not raise herself up. She wanted healing for 18 years. Now, the 18 years is symbolic to the fathers. It consists of the numbers 10 plus 8. She didn't follow the Ten Commandments well. Nor did she have good faith in the eighth day. You know the eighth day, right? There are only 7 days in a week, right? So we speak of the eighth day being at the end after the second coming when we are with God. That's the eighth day. How much hope do we have in the eighth day? I would ask you. How much hope do you have? So this woman was bowed down because of her sins and because, although I'm sure she had some desire, some hope, her hope was weak. Does that describe you? It describes me. So we're just like this woman. But the Lord came, saw her, had compassion upon her, and by a word, he said, "Thou art loosed from thy infirmity." But she wasn't healed just then. He put his hands on her too. His hands on someone that is considered to be unclean. And of course, she could immediately stand up straight. Now, I would ask you, if we're like this woman, are we also like her after her healing? Can you stand up straight? In everything, can you stand up straight? Do you have no troubles in your hearts? No things that go on? No darkness? No ickiness? I think we all have that, don't we? Every once in a while, I meet a person that doesn't know that they have that, and it's kind of chilling for me. Because we should know there's a lot wrong with us. We get angry easily. We get jealous easily. We have lustful thoughts easily. We put ourselves first easily. And even when someone is suffering, we can be indifferent to their suffering. And this is what stands out to me. Among the two things that stand out, I've already told you one. That the Lord just by a word and then by his action, but easily loosed her from an infirmity that she could not cure herself. That's amazing. Then the other is that the reaction of the Pharisees, the teachers, the leaders, the elite, the dead, because they wanted to find something to pin on Jesus. They didn't like him. They didn't like him because he spoke the truth. The people related to him as someone who spoke the truth. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they spoke death. And the people started to realize that. Or at least, maybe they were going towards Jesus. Probably a lot of people, obviously, did not completely realize that. But the Pharisees, because men in power tend to be paranoid, they were paranoid that Jesus would take over. They didn't know that that wasn't his plan at all. So because of their fear, they wanted to get rid of him. And they wanted to find any pretense to be rid of him. And so here is this idea from the law that you should not do work on the Sabbath day, and that's true. If you need to split firewood, you don't do it on the Sabbath day. You split everything you need before the Sabbath day. If you need to do any other kind of labor, except labor that is in order to be kind and good to others, you do it on another day. And so the Lord points out their hypocrisy when they say you should come on any day but the Sabbath day to be healed. He points out the death in them, the stench in them from their indifference to the suffering of a fellow human being, that they would actually be audacious enough to care so little about this woman that they would use her healing as some pretense to attack Jesus. That's blasphemous. Not just the attacking of Jesus. The blasphemy is to not care about another human being. That's a greater blasphemy. So the Lord tells them that if you have an ox or an ass, you'd lead them out of the stall and you'd lead them to water, don't you? There's another place where he says if you have one that falls in a ditch, you get them out, don't you, on the Sabbath day? Is it good to do good or evil on the Sabbath day? Well, the answer's self-evident. But it wasn't self-evident to these dead people, these walking dead, these people who looked alive, but actually their souls were full of uncleanness. Now, what does this tell us? The two things together should give you energy. They give me a lot of energy. It's very similar, although the story is different to me. The kind of idea, the meaning, the resonance in my heart is the same. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of things in Scripture that are different stories that really aren't related at all, but they resonate the same way in the heart. And so the story about the Good Samaritan, which I've been talking about a lot, we just had the gospel a few Sundays ago. I've been teaching about it. I've been telling everybody in prison about it. I've already done a faith enrichment about it. People are amazed at this story. But what is it about? It's really about the incarnation, and it's about us, that we are dead by the, or not dead, almost dead, dying by the side of the road. And if we recognize that we're that person who's by the side of the road bleeding, we're the woman who's bent over and cannot stand up, and the Lord can, by a word and by a gesture, heal us. And he could give us freedom so that we can go in and out and find pasture. We can have freedom to be good. Freedom to think only the things that are good in our heart. And all the rest, if we know that, then we would naturally have this deep caring for people who are suffering. What a terrible thing to not care about the suffering of another human being. It's diabolical. It's demonic. It's deadly. And we should investigate it within ourselves. How much do we care about the suffering of another human being? How aware are we of people around us and what is wrong with them? Now, we're bent over too, aren't we? I guess a person bent over can't see very well. Well, it just so happens a person who's aware that they're bent over can see extremely well because God gives them eyes to see. So in the midst of their infirmity, recognizing that they have their problems with whatever it is, whatever sins they have, whatever problems they have, whatever dysfunction is in their life or around them, among those they love, they have eyes to see the needs of other people. I have a phrase that many of you have heard. I've tried to live by it. If you can't stop sinning, at least be good. At least be kind. Excuse me. It's if you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. Because kindness is to be like God. So you should aim for that. And I give you examples all the time. The person who's unlovely is the person you should love the most. The difficult person at school, at work, in your family. Because most of the time, those people are doing ugly things because there's something that's really afflicting them in their heart. Perhaps they don't even let on that they're sad about it. Perhaps they act so much like a jerk that you can't see it. But I assure you, people who act out in ugly ways, people who are cruel or don't think of others or put themselves first, they have something in their heart that's afflicting them. They're bent over because they're not seeing God as they should. They're not acting as they should. And some of them want to get better, but they can't. So we should have a deep heart for those people. After all, the Lord says that the heart is deep in a man. And if we have a deep heart, that means we have an infinite capacity to care for others. That's one of the reasons why I tell you all the time to pray for others. Pray for those people that cross your path. It's really a very simple rule. If somebody crosses your path, you should pray for them. If they've made any kind of impact on you, positive or negative, then you should pray for them. And if you do that, then you are acting evangelically. You are acting according to the gospel. You are acting like Jesus Christ. Now, you can't raise people up. You can't free them of their infirmities. But you can beg the Lord to help you to do that. Or you can beg the Lord and He will do that. You can beg St. Pantaleon or any of the saints to do that, to pray to the Lord, and the Lord will indeed raise many from their infirmity. So the lesson to me from this gospel is very clear, and it resonates with so many other gospels, like, for instance, the Good Samaritan. The prodigal son has a similarity too, because his prodigal son couldn't cure himself. He had to go back to his father, or else he was going to die. But he recognized that he was no good without his father, so he went back. We have many examples of that in the scripture, so we should heed them. So either I give you a choice. If you want to be saved, you can do one of two things, whichever one you consider to be the easiest. Be completely good, never sin. That'll save you. Or love your brother. Love your brother with a sacrificial love, like God loves us. Have a heart that is tender towards those that have afflictions and difficulties. Reach out to them with your hands, with your feet, with your money, with your heart, and with your prayers. Obviously, the first way is theoretically possible, but nobody's ever been able to do it. So there's only one way. There's only one way, and the way of love. That's the only way that can save us. God loves us, so we love Him. And if we love Him, then we care about those who are bowed down with an infirmity, because we recognize in them us. May God help our hearts to be tender. God bless you. Amen.